In the aftermath of the Christchurch massacre, the Prime Minister is leading a push for a global agreement to crack down on tech companies when social media platforms are used to promote violence. Scott Morrison has written to the chairman of the G20 group of countries, that's Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, asking for social media governance to be elevated to the top of the agenda for the world leaders meeting in June. On Friday, Friday's a terrorist attack on two New Zealand mosques that left 50 people dead. It was live streamed on Facebook and footage was online for 17 minutes before it was removed. New Zealand's Privacy Commissioner John Edwards says Facebook violated New Zealand law by failing to stop the gunman from live streaming the mass murder.
They've enabled a service that had this completely predictable risk associated with it. They've given us assurances that there are mechanisms to address that risk, and those have failed. They have artificial intelligence. They invest enormously in creating algorithms to sell us things. They should have caught this before it had to be drawn to their attention by police.
That's New Zealand's Privacy Commissioner John Edwards. Hani Farid is a professor of digital forensics at the University of California and an advisor to the Counter-Extremism Project, which is an NGO that aims to combat the growing threat of extremist ideologies, including online. Hani Farid, welcome to RM Breakfast.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Was the live streaming on Facebook of the Christchurch massacre a great game changer in terms of potential further regulation of social media companies?
I think it came at a particularly sensitive time. I will tell you, we have been dealing with issues of social media companies not taking responsibility for what's on their platform, from child sexual abuse material to terrorism and extremism material to illegal drugs and illegal weapons. And this has been an ongoing battle for 10 years. I think people have finally woken up to the abuses on the platforms. I think people have finally woken up to the fact that the platforms are at times often indifferent to the abuses. And while there is legislation pending in the EU and the UK and discussions here on Capitol Hill in the US, I think this was a particularly salient example of not just the failure after the posting of the video, but the whole build-up to this was a social media mess, because these people are being radicalized in echo chambers online. They are then designing these attacks to go viral, and then they are in fact going viral. And this in many ways is the perfect storm of many failures of social media. And I think we as a society, and certainly we as legislators, have to wake up that the time is well past to start figuring out how to rein in the technology companies, because they're simply not doing it on their own.
Yeah, that's right. These platforms act as sort of instigators and then perpetrators, don't they? That both things happen there in this incubation, if you like. In this case, it was live streaming of this massacre. The live stream was up for 17 minutes. That's how long this process took. The companies have, as we just heard the Privacy Commissioner there from New Zealand say, these companies say they have mechanisms to control this. Well, either they don't have them, or they didn't use them. How quickly do you believe these companies could have and would have detected that an horrific act like this was being live streamed? And further to that, at what point could Facebook have intervened and shut it down?
Yeah. Well, there's two failures here, and let's separate them. So the first failure is the failure to detect the video at the very beginning. That's the first 17 minutes.
Mm.
And we're going to come
back and
talk
about that. That's a long time, 17 minutes.
Yeah. It is a long time, and I'm not excusing it, but there is an even more egregious failure. And so let me start there, which is that once the video was, they were told of the video, that video kept reappearing over and over again. And while we can blame Facebook, the same thing was happening on YouTube, and the same thing was happening on Twitter and other platforms. So once somebody has identified a video for you, why does it keep appearing? I mean, we want to hear from these companies how sophisticated their AI is. They can't even find the same video. It's exactly the same video. And so that is a spectacular failure. Now, the first failure is also serious. And here is where I think we run into some really difficult problems, because despite claims from Zuckerberg to the contrary, artificial intelligence is not here to save the day. Let me give you an example of this. Just last week, the chief technology officer of Facebook was bragging of how their AI system can distinguish images of broccoli from marijuana. first of all, I don't know why you care about that problem, but never mind. So, but the accuracy of their system was 90%. That means 1 out of 10 times they are incapable of distinguishing broccoli from marijuana. What you should know is that on Facebook there are roughly 2 billion uploads a day. That means 100 million mistakes a day. It doesn't work. So the AI systems are not nearly accurate enough to work at the scale of these platforms. These platforms have scaled to a phenomenal size without putting guardrails in place. And now they're trying to go back and put some safety in place, and it's simply not working because of the scale of the platform.
Okay, so it's the enormity of it, which means even the algorithms and the AI can't keep up, even though, as you say, the fingerprint of this one would be identical. Right. They just can't keep up with the downloads, essentially.
Right. So what I would say is they can't keep up with the initial upload, that is detecting
upload.
It as upload.
Yep.
They absolutely have the technology to deal with it once it has been identified. And the failure to do that is, in my opinion, downright criminal. They have the ability to do this, and if they can't do it, they are simply incapable of regulating their platforms, because that's a relatively easy problem to solve.
Well, let's go to the live stream, though. 17 minutes. When would that have come up as a spike? You know, that wouldn't it have spiked at some moment before that 15 minutes was over? And should they not have intervened to stop it? Can they do that?
So here's what the problem is. If you don't have automatic systems that are accurate enough to detect and remove this within a few minutes, then surely you should have algorithms that are accurate enough to triage the material for human moderators. And despite Facebook and YouTube and Twitter saying that they are hiring thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of moderators, it is obviously not enough. When you have 2 billion users, having 10,000 moderators at work at any given time is obviously not enough. That ratio doesn't work. And so they want us to be impressed by their thousands of moderators. But if they can't catch some of the most horrific content before, by the way, law enforcement found it, then they simply don't have enough bodies
right.
on the ground. And so they have to staff up. And the problem with the technology companies is they don't want to do that. They want to automate everything because that's what saves them money.
But if they had found it, just a straight question, could they have stopped that streaming live stream?
Yes.
Okay.
So if they absolutely could have stopped live streaming it, and there's no question about that, they have the ability to do that. And by the way, I will mention that when Facebook released this live streaming, they knew that this was going to happen. These types of horrific videos were going to happen. But it was very much the move fast and break things motto of Facebook.
Okay.
Which is, we'll deal with that problem when we have to deal with it. And here we are now dealing with it.
Honey, just briefly, our Prime Minister Scott Morrison here in Australia says it's unacceptable to treat the internet as an ungoverned space. And he wants this issue elevated to the top of the G20 agenda. What's governance? Is governance going to be able to enforce itself, impose itself in any effective way on these major platforms, do you think?
First of all, I completely agree with that. This idea that we can have an ungoverned internet doesn't work anymore. We've tried it for 20 years, and it's failing spectacularly to the tune of miserable problems. And so now the question is, how do we start putting in thoughtful regulation that allows us to have the open and free internet that we want, an open exchange of ideas, but reining in the worst abuses? And I fear that we are now going to overreact. So we need to tread lightly. We need to be thoughtful about this, but we simply have to act now. Not acting is no longer an option.
Hani Farid, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Hani Farid is a professor of digital forensics at the University of California and an advisor to the Counter-Extremism Project, which is an NGO that aims to combat the growing threat of extremist ideologies.